Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I'm going to continue on in a series on the book of Acts. Last week, I just touched on the beginning of Acts in chapter 13. I'd just like to read the last three verses just to finish out chapter 13, just as a tenor and moving into chapter 14, which I'm going to talk about this morning. Just the last bit of Acts chapter 13, verses 49 to 52. This is what the Bible says. And the word of the Lord, this is in Antioch, in the region in which Paul and Barnabas were ministering. Verse 49 of Acts 13 says this. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. Oh, this is pertinent. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. This is all unplanned. I hadn't planned on. You think, well, how could people do that? It happened to them. This persecution against the church in Uganda. How horrible. I've never heard of such a thing. It's right there in the Bible. End of chapter 13. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. Speaking of Paul and Barnabas, but they shook off the dust of their feet and protest against them and went to Iconium, which is a city. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. When persecution comes, Holy Spirit comes. And I may talk more about that in a minute. I don't like persecution. Anybody love persecution? It's not fun. Don't like it. Don't wish it. Don't want it. But when the enemies of God stand against the church and the things of heaven, God gets involved. It's amazing, it's awesome, it's wonderful. This morning, the title of the message I want to talk about out of Acts chapter 14 is navigating the ups and downs. In life, it's learning how to navigate the ups and downs. Acts chapter 14, verse 1 to 23 out of the New American Standard. I want to pray, please. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for its infallible truth. I thank you that you gave us the Word of God, Lord, that we would not be adrift, we wouldn't be left to our own vain imaginations or what we think is right and what we think is this and what we think of you. Lord, you gave us the Word to guide and tutor us, to teach us in your ways. I thank you for the power of the Bible. I thank you that it stretches beyond all generations. And it's heaven's truth. I thank you that it's, even though it's hard to understand at times, I thank you that it's clear. I thank you that it is a light and a lamp unto our feet. And Father, we will continue to give ourselves to your word. Yes. To comprehend and understand your ways. Save me from my understanding, my interpretation, my application when it doesn't match up with heaven's ways. Father, I pray this morning the Word of God would come alive, that it would have application to me and us this morning, that we would see and experience heaven. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 14, and I'm going to read through 1 through verse 23 this morning. That same Iconium that finished chapter 13, city, verse 1. Acts 14, New American Standard. In Iconium, they, Paul and Barnabas, entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and Greeks. Verse 2. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Is there a theme here this morning? But the Jews who didn't trust in Jesus, didn't trust in the message of grace that Paul and Barnabas were bringing. They disbelieved. And their response was not going, "Huh, I'll see you next Saturday." No, that's not what they did. They stirred up everyone else in opposition to cause a commotion, a kerfuffle. Stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. And as I gave this report about Eve, you're like, what in the world? That how? What is wrong with our world gone crazy? It's nuts. Anybody ever think it's just worse than ever? Can I just tell you, it's not. It's not worse than ever. We can think because for most of us, this is the only life you've ever lived. It's deep water now. Let's swim. Let's swim. Navigate. Put your snorkel on, fins, flippers. This is the only life we've had. And so our perspective is, it's never been so bad in all the history of the world. It's so bad now. Have you read? Have we read our Bible? It's not unique to this generation. And I hear so many Christians, oh, November. The sky is falling. It's a disaster. I don't think so. It was so funny, probably 30 years ago-ish. It was the day after an election. 30 years ago-ish. And I stood up on a Sunday morning in church. I was leading the church. And I said, I'm so excited because my guy won yesterday. Gasp. You didn't vote for him. You're out. New pastor. You're gone. I said, my guy won yesterday. And I said, Jesus won again. Because my guy is not of that political party, either one of them. That's not my guy. My guy is named Jesus. And we can, because it's the only generation we've ever lived, we can think, it's never been like this. Read our Bibles. We have an adversary, and he hasn't changed. He's the same adversary that wants to stir up the minds of the Gentiles, most of us. Stir us up. Get us all flummoxed. It's never been this bad before. I disagree. Read my Bible. Verse 2 again. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Verse 3. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. I love that. They didn't go off running to the hills. There's opposition. Ugly things are happening. So what did they do? We're not leaving. We're staying. We're staying. Well, that sounds scary. Yep. If you're the bad guys. Because the bad guys want the good guys out. Thank you. I agree with you. Verse 3. Therefore, as a response to trouble, they didn't leave. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. God was all in. You want to stay? You want to be resilient? You want to have tenacity? You want to keep preaching? I'll bring signs and wonders in your midst. That's heaven's response. Verse 4. Yes, amen. It is. Verse 4. But the people of the city were divided. And some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Surprise. Verse 5. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, They became aware of it, the disciples, and then fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. I'm just going to... Randy and I were in Europe recently, and we met with some old friends of ours that went to Bible school with us in the 80s in England. And our dear friends, he's been to India 20, 25 times. And he was telling stories of the people and the church in India. And he said this one guy who came to England, was trained and went back, young man, he was... Two stories. He said one young guy became a convert. He was a Hindu, became a Christian. People in the city in India weren't happy. Shot him 10 times. 10 times. The guy lived and said, "Thank you, Jesus, they missed." Didn't kill him. Went back and began just spreading the gospel. They missed. Another man who came to England and went back, huge persecution when he went back. And the persecution was so great, and the resultant miracles were so great, the Christians began praying for persecution. Because every time the persecution broke out, he broke out. And this young man, who's a fairly recent convert to Christianity, has planted 1,000 churches across the north of India. And they know when to stop and start a church when there's persecution. That seems different to my way of thinking. It's a different way of looking at something. So these folks... They became aware of the threat to stone them and kill them. That does not sound like fun. They went to Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, three cities. This is all in eastern Turkey is the region, current day eastern Turkey, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Don't you love tenacity? Verse 8, at Lystra, it's a city, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And this man was listening to Paul. This is the same Saul. In chapter 13, he went from Saul to Paul. And it's a second name. And Paul, actually the word Paul means little. You could call him, it's a nickname. Not exactly a great nickname if you're a short person. But it's Saul that Jesus encountered in Acts 9 that we read several weeks ago. This man was listening to Paul, and as he spoke, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that this man had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. Amazing. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, I love this story. I said a couple of weeks ago, when we were looking at a different chapter, where there's a prayer meeting for Peter, and he got out, and nobody believed that he was out. It's like, stupid girl. We're praying for him. You can't be out of prison. He's in prison. That's why we're praying. And Peter's out. And they're like, it can't be out. Same biblical humor to me. This passage right here, verse 11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lycaonian language, really important. They're saying, the people are saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have become like men and have come down to us. Now, Paul and Barnabas, I guarantee you, did not speak fluent Lycaonian. They're like, we're preaching the gospel. These people are freaking out, saying stuff. I wonder what they're saying. They're about to find out. The gods have become like men and have come down to us. And they, the people of Lycaonia, this city, and they began calling Barnabas, Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. These guys are heroes. They're amazing. Let's elevate them. Let's put them on a pedestal. We would never do that with people in the ministry. We don't have any celebrity status in this country for pastors. Try calling them their first name without putting pastor in front of it, and you'll find out who's a celebrity. So, what? I'm just moving on. That was, I don't know that that was in the text, but we're talking. Verse 12. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. I wonder how many people, when somebody starts singing your praises, saying amazing things about you, how does it make you feel on the inside, honestly? When people think you're amazing, you get a bonus at work, a promotion at work, and people think you're the cat's meow. That's a good reference to cats. See? There's your bone for the ear. I'm a dog person. I'm not anti-cat. I'm just pro-dog. What happens when people chant your name and say great things about you? I had a friend of mine tell me years ago that you don't find out what's in your heart until you find success. When you find success, you find out what's in your heart. Because when you find pushback, when you find trouble, when you find difficulty, we're all humble. We're all crying out for help. But when things are going great, that's when I find you're right. You're right. You are also right. These guys are heroes in the midst. Proverbs 27:21 says this. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold. And a man is tested by his praise. Tested by his praise. Verse 13 of Acts 14. The priest of Zeus, because there was a big deal in that, the Greek gods. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, saying, men, why are you doing these things? We're men. We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. You think they tore their robes. These are humble men, godly men. Don't think anything amazing about us. We're just people. But you prayed and that person who'd never walked is walking. You're heroes. You can start your TV ministry. You can write your book. You're going to make millions. We wouldn't do that in this country. But they tore their robes. You think, what in the world? That's a Jewish tradition. When a Jewish person in this time heard blasphemy, they would tear their robes. This is blasphemy. These are things you can't say about God. It's blasphemous. And their instant response is, we're nothing. We're nobodies. We're here just to preach Jesus. A miracle has happened because Jesus is Jesus. And I'm not. I love the humility of these men. And their Barnabas and Paul, their response is, men, why are you trying to sacrifice? Stop. We are also, verse 15, we are also men of the same nature as you. We're flesh and blood. And we preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things, sacrificing animals, worshiping Zeus and Hermes. God made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Out of these two people, servants of God, it's just, it's all about God. It's all about His glory. Verse 16, they're still speaking, Paul and Barnabas. In the generations gone by, He permitted all the nations to go their own way. And yet He did not leave Himself without witness. And that He did good. And He gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with good and with food and gladness. But, verse 18, even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. And here's where it gets interesting. Not funny, interesting to me. These are gods. Verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. And having won the... Okay, Antioch is probably 140, 150 miles away. And they so despised, so hated Paul and Barnabas and what they were doing, they traveled by foot 150 miles to tell them, don't follow these guys. These are committed opponents. Great things are happening. People are getting healed in this town. Verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, where Paul and Barnabas had just left. And having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. The day before, they're gods. The day before, these guys are gods. The next day, let's kill them. Do you think people can be fickle? One day you're a hero, the next day you're an idiot. We never liked you. They were going to sacrifice them to, they're going to sacrifice to them as gods on Wednesday. On Thursday, they're going to sacrifice them. Let's be interested in what God says about us than what the crowd says, whether it's for or against. Opposition was breaking out. Get on Facebook. It's not fair. It's not right. Everybody freak out. Sign petitions. Lawyer up. The end must be near. We've never seen persecution like this before. Nope, probably not. They stoned Paul. And he was so close to death, they dragged him out of this city, supposing him to be dead. That's how many rocks this man took. How immobilized, how lifeless Paul was. They did such a great job in trying to kill him, they thought he was dead. It's not like they threw a rock. Yeah, go, go. Off with you, scat. They stoned him to death. But, verse 20, but while the disciples stood around him, I love this. The disciples are like, ow, ow. He got up and entered the city. Who does that? They just stoned this man in the city. Dragged him out of the city. Y'all bury him or whatever you do with dead people. Well, he wasn't dead. So what does he do? He stands up and goes back into the city. Tenacity with a capital T. What is up with this guy? He's amazing. But while the disciples stood around in verse 20, he got up and went back and he entered the city. The next day, after he checked out of Holiday Inn Express, the next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe, different city. I think that's a good idea. Verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, the places where they had just been attacked and stoned and the bad guys are stirring up the crowd against them. They went back. Why? Because they're tenacious. Because they don't care what you do to my body. I'm in this for Jesus. Verse 22. They just kept going. Verse 22, what were they doing? Stay away from those guys. Let's post on Facebook. Let's get some petitions going against those mean, bad Jewish people. Nope. Verse 22, what did they do when they went back to these places they had just left where people hated them enough to try and kill them? 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I bet. Ephesians 6:12. Just a thought I want to share this morning. Just a thought for us as Christians. September 1st, election approaching. Ephesians 6, verse 12. The Bible says this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against personalities. It's not against people. But against the rulers, against the powers, and against the wicked forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. These guys, Paul and Barnabas, had heaven's perspective. I know you're trying to kill us, but you know what? There's a demonic attack against us, and we're not going to be running scared. We're going to go right back where they tried to kill us. Tenacity. Oh, my goodness. But they had heaven's perspective on what the problem was. It's a demonic attack. Yes, they are using people against us. But they're not the issue. The stones seem like they could have been. But our resistance is there. Not these people who don't like us. A different perspective. I wonder if we could have a heavenly perspective, a kingdom of God perspective. Verse 23, just to finish off this passage this morning. When they, Barnabas and Paul, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. These two guys, Paul and Barnabas, they're amazing, they're incredible, they're tenacious, they're just Christians. They're just believers. When the people in the city said, you guys are amazing, you're gods. Nope, we're men and women. They weren't women. Gender neutral. We're people just like you. There's nothing special about us. We simply love Jesus. That's what's special about us. That's it. What if I took that perspective to the things that are agitating me, that are against me, that are bothering me? What if I took heaven's perspective about things that trouble my soul? And there's so many things in our country that are troubling. So many things that are troubling. What if I took a biblical perspective, the kingdom of heaven perspective on the troubling things? What if? In Mark 8, verse 33, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And he's telling his disciples what's about to happen. And this wonderful, alert follower named Peter said, no, you're not going to Jerusalem. You're not going to die. And Jesus, turning to Peter, said, get behind me, Satan. Ow. I don't know if he wanted to put that on his tombstone. Jesus looked at his disciple, his follower, who's missing the moment, missing the perspective, not understanding the purposes of God. Because Satan didn't want Jesus to go back there. But Jesus said, I'm going to do what my Father wants me to do. It may not be pleasant for me, but I'm interested in what my Father says. Not in my comfort, not in me winning according to this world's standards. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. An eternal perspective, I believe it changes everything for us. What if it's not about me? What if it's not about my leisure and my pleasure? What if it's not about my 401k and my beautiful retirement in Fort Walton, Florida? Let's go to North Carolina. What if it's not beautiful North Carolina? There's more hills and mountains in North Carolina. What if it's not about my political beliefs? What if I actually thought that when Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, what if I actually believe that? Wouldn't that be weird? Are you okay? Four of you. Tom, are you saying we shouldn't get involved in politics? Please get involved in politics. Please run for office. Be influential. Be influential. But here's the weird thing. Just a thought. I'm just going to throw a thought out for you. My personal opinion is I don't believe Jesus is a Democrat. Just a thought. I don't know. Call me Vegas. I'm a gambler. I'm out on the edge. I also believe Jesus is not a Republican. Not. I know. My wife is appalled. We are not in the age to come going to have the American political system in heaven. It's not going to happen. I am so thankful. I have traveled some to other countries. I am so thankful that God has allowed me to live in America. I am so thankful. It is so much better than most every place in the world. We are so blessed to live in this country. Unless I allow the values of this country to dictate my understanding, then there's trouble for me. Jesus is the King of heaven and earth. Paul and Barnabas had a revelation of heaven. So important. James 1:12, the Bible says this. James 1:12. I'm going to do a GBH real quick and we're going to go have an amazing lunch. James 1:12. Blessed, that's a strong word. Blessed is a man, gender neutral, who perseveres under good times. Blessed is a man, is a person who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Wow. Do we have trials? Absolutely. Another month goes by and no baby. Your ridiculous car breaks down again. You have another massive medical bill. You go to the doctor and he wants to put you on another pill to counteract what that pill is doing, to counteract those three pills. That child of yours is doing it again. That child of mine just took another step away from Jesus again. Your closest friend announces that she's about to have her 19th grandchild. You still don't have one. And your heart aches and breaks. Another birthday, another year, still no answer to that longing of your soul. Life has challenges. Life is challenging. Can I just say, like Jesus, like Paul and Barnabas, I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. I can regulate my emotions and not throw in the towel as a believer in Jesus. There's an option. I will. I'm trying. Thank you. We have an option. We can whine. The British have this wonderful word called whinging. I love it. It's like a little twist on whining. They talk to their kids, stop whinging. And I wonder how often I do that as an adult. I can regulate my emotions and my mind by listening to the voice of God, obeying the scriptures, obeying the Holy Spirit. How can I do that? Great, but how? Close with this. How can I do that? How can I navigate the ups and downs of life and the troubles and the tribulations that we have, I have? I may not be suffering from people throwing rocks at me to kill me, but the rocks of life come, and they look different for everybody. Not to minimize them, but it hurts. Great, but how? What do I do? How can we do this? Number one, simply, don't lose sight of him and the challenge of life. Don't lose sight of Jesus and the pain, the ups and downs of life. He's my stake in the ground, and Jesus is my rock, not the verdict in November. Jesus is my bottom line, my absolute. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8 to 10 says this. I love this. This is, again, the Apostle Paul writing to his disciple. It seems ridiculous, but Paul wrote to Timothy, this young man, younger man, and he said this, remember Jesus Christ. Duh. When you're in trial and tribulation, things are bad. If I actually remember Jesus, do you think it would change how I feel in the moment?
Yes.
I think I can forget Jesus, lose sight of him in the midst of my pain. What do I do? Great, but how do I? Remember him. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What do I do? How do I navigate the ups and downs, the ugly things that are happening, no matter what happens in November, no matter what happens with that doctor's report, no matter what happens with my child, I'm going to trust Jesus. How do I do that? Don't lose sight of him. Remember Jesus. He's my anchor. Two, what do I do? Remember his precious promises. He has spoken. 2 Peter 1, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. We'll just keep it at that. Remember his precious promises. Verse 2, 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and excellence. Verse 4, here we go. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them, the promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. How do we do it? What has God said? That's my truth. That's my anchor, the promises of God. Last point. Great, but how do I do this? Remind myself about eternity. This life is passing by. If you're a little older, you understand. This life is so short. So short. Like a wisp of wind, this life. Remind myself, Jesus is coming, and the scripture has something to say about when he comes. Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12. Revelation 22, 11 and 12. Red letters, last book in the Bible. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. What? And let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, this is Jesus saying this, I am coming quickly. Said it a couple thousand years ago. Eternal perspective. Day is 1,000 years. Remember that scripture? Behold, 2,000 years ago, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me. When I come, says the Lord, I'm bringing reward for the faithful. To render to every man according to what he has done. Jesus, help us to not be blown about by every wind and wave of doctrine, to not be blown about by every election, to not be blown about by every bill that comes into my mail. Jesus, help me to see you in this life. Help me to remember your precious promises. And Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me to remember, to understand, to comprehend, to have a revelation that when you come again, you're bringing reward with you, and you will reward me and us according to what we have done. Help us, Lord, to stand firm for you. for truth, for righteousness, to love when it hurts to love, to be kind when it's easier to be unkind, to forgive when it's so much easier to hold an attitude and bitterness. Father, help me to forgive. Help me to love. Help me to remember Jesus. Help me to stand on your word in spite of what I feel or what I see. I thank you for your lavish promises towards us and this church family. Jesus, that this week we will take good news to a dying world. We will tell people, why am I so happy? Why am I blessed? Why is there joy in my life? Because I serve a God who's amazing, who goes above and beyond whatever I'm experiencing, whether it's up or down. My God is faithful, and I'll stand with him. Would you like to meet him? His name is Jesus, and he's worth it. Father, bless us with opportunities this week that our minds and eyes would be open to seize the opportunity to tell people about this marvelous King we have, named Jesus. May we as a people remain steadfast in spite of difficult times, challenging times, and in the midst of great times, to not get full of ourselves and forget about you. That we would find you in every season of life and walk with you. Thank you for amazing people like Paul and Barnabas, that we can learn from their story and the pain and the joy that they went through, that we can learn. Father, may I continue to have orange cones around me. I am under construction. I'm not done. I'm still learning. I'm still changing. Father, I thank you for your patience. Help me to be patient with me. But Lord, I want to move towards you. Bless us in our going today. Thank you for your word. Bless this amazing people in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Have an amazing week. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.